We'll look at verse 34. We'll start there. Awake to righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Father, we come together this morning once again to hear from the Word of God. Our Lord, the best we know how, we give ourselves unto you. God, these folks came here this morning not to hear from any of the preachers.
That's right, yes, sir.
God, they came looking for something from heaven.
Yes.
God, they need to have some manna, God, from heavenly manna. Lord, the best we know this morning,
help us.
We preachers give ourselves unto you. And we plead the blood of our Savior, wash us, cleanse us anew and afresh.
Yes.
God, we ask you to fill us anew and afresh with the Spirit of God.
Thank you.
Lord, might that filling be overflowing, Lord, and that overflow be enough, God, to meet the need of each heart that came searching,
yes,
came looking, came hungry. Feed your people this morning, I pray.
Yes.
Speak to our hearts.
Help us.
God, save the lost if there's any here that are.
Yes, help us.
Lord, do what only you can do this morning. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I actually was praying this morning and this thought kept coming back to me about last night and some things about that power. And the Lord, I began to search a few verses and the Lord took me this verse. Awake to righteousness and sin not. That's not saying you can be sinless.
That's right.
Amen?
That's right, yes, sir.
It just said awake to righteousness and sin not.
Yeah.
Amen? You know, if you're walking in righteousness, it's pretty hard to sin.
Yeah.
It's when you let go of the righteousness and yield to the wrong thing, we begin to fall.
Help.
Yeah. But he said this, for some have not the knowledge of God. You know, you are the only God some people are going to see.
Yep.
Amen. You and I. You're saved. You're the what? We were created in his image, amen. As the song says. Christ in us, the hope of glory.
Right.
Has anybody ever walked up to you and said, excuse me, are you a Christian? Have you ever been accused of being a Christian? You ever been accused of being saved? Because they saw something. I mean, I'm talking about people that didn't know you. Just walk up to you and say, excuse me, are you a Christian? And you say yes, and they say, I thought so. Amen?
Yeah, that's good.
I've had it happen a few times. I wish it would happen more. The reason it doesn't is me.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been at Walmart. I had a lady walk up to me at Walmart one day, and I've been working. I was helping somebody. We were cutting wood and everything, and I had on bib overalls. I like to work in bib overalls. Why? Because everything can kind of ride where God put it, you know? I don't have to have a belt to cinch it. Amen. So here I am, and I'm all sawdust, man. I mean, I got my ball cap on. Always work with a ball cap. Why? Because my head gets sunburned.
Yep.
So I got the ball cap and the sawdust all over that. There's the sawdust on my, and I got a t-shirt on underneath my bibs, you know. And this woman walks up to me and she says, excuse me, are you a preacher? I thought about that a split second. I thought, preacher? I kind of looked down. I wanted to take my hat off and see if somebody stuck a sticky note on there and said, preacher, you know. I looked at her and I said, well, yes, ma'am. It so happens I am. I said, but I'm a saved, born again child of God first. And then God called me to preach. May I help you? She said, yes. Will you pray for me? And she began to weep and tell me the story. I said, ma'am, I'd be honored to pray for you. Right there in Walmart, we got down on our knees and prayed. You know, that doesn't happen very often. Sometimes I think the problem is Cliff. I was getting tires out in the country, out in central Pennsylvania. Little hole in the wall tire shop. And there were no signs in there, you know, the little Jesus sign. What do you see in this sign, you know? There were no scripture signs hanging on the walls. There were no pictures of Jesus. There was nothing in that shop that said this guy's Christian. Nothing. I was told, you go to this guy, he'll give you the best deal of anybody. We were only, an hour from Harrisburg. Plenty of tire shops down there. And he said, this guy will beat them hands down, right off the shelf. So I said, okay, so I go and I pull in there. I pull up to the door. It's 8 o'clock in the morning, you know. Doors were up. I pull up there. I stop at the garage door. I get out. I walk in. He's sitting in there in the office. And I said, excuse me, I came to get some tires. I heard you give me a good deal. He said, well, we'll try. And we went on a little bit, and he said, okay. He said, bring your car in. So I drove my car in, Brother Dale, and I got in there, and I got out of the car, and I'm sitting over there. They got signs on, said, due to insurance, you know, we ask the customers, don't, you know, go out in the work area. He's over there. It's just me and him in the shop, and he's over there on that tire machine and breaking the bead on the tire. And I kept watching that guy. I said, that guy's saved, man. I know what that guy's saved. I disobeyed the sign. I said, sir, I'm sorry. You know, I know your sign says. Oh, he said, don't worry about it. Just me and you. I said, I got to ask you a question. He said, what's that? I said, are you saved? He dropped the tools. Yes, and you are too. I knew it the minute you drove in that door. We had a little revival right there, man. Camp meeting time. What are you trying to say? He said, awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. We ought to be striving against sin.
Yes, sir.
Right.
Amen.
Yep.
We ought to be working and fighting and battling. Amen. If you're not battling something today, I wonder.
Yes, sir, brother. You got that right.
Amen. Because there's a battle. We'll see that battle in just a moment, but there's a battle going on, and you and I as saved people ought to be striving against something wicked.
That's right.
In us.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm not talking about carrying a sign down on the street corner that says, down with abortion.
Yeah, right.
You know, down with Planned Parenthood. Amen. Up with Jesus. No. We ought to be striving against something in us that God doesn't like.
That's right.
Something in us that's wicked. Why? Because you and I live in a body, amen, that did not get born again.
That's right.
And so many people struggling, amen, and then this crowd says that they live above sin. I like what Don Green said. The only way to live above sin is move in over a bar. Amen.
Yeah, that's good.
None of you are going to live above sin. None of us are going to make it. Amen. Then he said this, I speak this to your shame. You ever get ashamed of yourself? I was preaching on the street down in Sevierville, Tennessee one time. And this guy rolled by in his car and said, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. I said, I am, but I'm not ashamed of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. That's right.
That's good, yeah.
I speak this to your shame. Does it ever bother you that somebody passed you by and they might not have seen God? They might not. If you tried to give them a gospel tract, they'd laugh at you. Just because of you. Amen.
Shameful, yes, sir.
He said, awake to righteousness and sin not. Some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame, but some man will say, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die.
Oh, yeah.
Quickened means given life. Has to die.
Right.
Give life. You know, we plant our gardens, amen. I don't plant one anymore. It's kind of hard to tow it behind a motorhome, amen. I've tried to figure out how. I love fresh vegetables.
Yeah, sure.
And the way I travel, I could have them all year long. Can't do it. You know, you put that, and I never understood this. I mean, I grew up on the farm. We grew all of our own cow corn. We grew all of our own corn. We grew everything. And you put that seed in the ground. All I knew was up comes the corn. I never really got the law of sowing and reaping until I got saved. Never really understood it. Then I got thinking, and that preacher explained to me how when you put that kernel of corn, how do you take an old, dead, dry corn kernel and put it in the ground, and up comes a corn stalk. And out of that corn stalk comes numerous ears. And on each of those ears, there's a whole bunch more corn kernels. How does that thing work? That it has to die before it can live.
It's good, brother. Yeah.
That thing goes in the ground and water. My dad always told about the early rain, the latter rain. My dad was, he was the county drunk before he got saved. He knew enough about it to know you had to have the early rain and the latter rain to really make it good. And then I got to put it together, that early rain, and then that's what aided in the death of that corn kernel. In the rot, amen, and the corruption, if you will, of that corn kernel. Hmm. And then out of that springs forth life.
Amen.
When I was born, my mother nearly died. They say that's as close as any woman can come to dying. Mine almost did. She was in a coma for several weeks up in Buffalo General Hospital. And she was the human guinea pig on the kidney dialysis machine. She nearly died to give me life. They asked my father in the Bradford Hospital down here, they said, which do you want? Your wife or your baby? They didn't even believe in abortions back then, though, Tim. Cesarean section wasn't even a word back then. And my dad said, I want them both.
That's right.
They said, well, if we deliver the baby, your wife may die. He said, you deliver that baby, we'll deal with what comes later.
That's right.
They delivered me, and my mother went into her whole body, the system began to shut down, her kidney shut down. Several weeks she lay in a hospital bed, a giant cement mixture, they called it back then. Now they carry it around like a little notebook computer. But that machine saved her life, but she almost died. You'd be lying. The thought occurred to me, who am I dying for? Spiritually, I mean, there's a correlation here. There's a parallel here. God uses parallels all through this Bible of the natural and the spiritual. Who am I dying for? Who am I dying that they might see my God?
Yeah, that's good.
And I was the first tailor ever to be born again. All back through my lineage, I traced it as far back as I could. All I could find was whiskey makers and whiskey drinkers. Hell raisers, fools. I got saved, and God has now saved 5 generations of my family. 2 generations are already in heaven, my grandfather and my father. Because you know what they saw, Brother Dale? They saw that early rain from the Word of God had begun to work in a man and make him different.
Yeah, that's right, yes, sir.
And my father, sitting on the stoop with his uncle, whom I really knew as my grandfather growing up. And he's sitting there with him, and his uncle said to him, he said, I hear Cliff got religion. He said, no, Cliff didn't get no religion. He said, why do you say that? He said, because religion don't do what he got. You know what I've been praying for ever since, Brother Dale? The early rain. The early rain came, amen, and it rotted that seed, amen, and it began to spring forth life. And people began to see it and notice it. You know what I'm praying for now, Brother John? The latter rain.
Yeah, amen.
Yeah, the latter rain. Yeah. Why? Because all too often, Cliff, amen, is sticking up there. And what they see is Cliff. And they don't see Cliff's Savior.
Oh, help us.
That's it.
Oh, how many times I'll, in the middle of the night, slip off, slip down, and begin to weep before God. So, oh, God, forgive me, Cliff. Was too alive and well today. Cliff needs to die. Amen. I'm not talking about kill being there, and I'm dead and in a box and in the ground. Cliff needs to die.
Yes, sir.
To Cliff. He said this in verse 39, all flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another of beasts, another of fishes, another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial, but the glory of the celestial is one, the glory of the terrestrial is another. Jump on down with me. Verse 42, so is also the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. My father passed away a year ago this past July, a year ago last month, July the 16th, 14, he passed away. We had the privilege of being there. The Lord gave me the last week and a half or so of his life with him. I was in Carolina, and I was traveling back and forth, and it worked out that I got there, and it all started that week and a half. I was driving to Olean. I was going down to Home Depot. As I'm driving down the one street there, the West State Street, I guess it is. I got down in there along about where Worth Smith's place is there, the hardware store. And my dad leans out and he looks up and out the window like this, and he looks over at me and he said, "I'm soon going home, son." And I knew he wasn't talking about the house, amen.
That's right.
And I said, "Yeah, Dad," I said, "you want to know what's going to really be neat about it?" He said, "What's that?" I said, "Well, you know, after you see Jesus, I mean, that's going to be the greatest, seeing Jesus." "Yeah." And I said, "Then you get to see those that are there because of you." He said, "What do you mean, son?" And I began to name names that had gotten saved since my dad got saved. See, there used to be a bar in the middle of Eldred called Dolly's. And the man that owned its name was Dean Armour. Him and his wife ran it. She was the waitress. He was the barkeep. And my dad, he was well known in that place. Every bar in McKean County knew him. But that one in particular, and another one out in Turtle Point, he won the barkeep to the Lord. He won his wife to the Lord. And they're both in heaven by the time my dad is passing. I said, "Remember Dean Armour?" His eyes start to water with tears. I said, "You know what he's waiting for? He's waiting to tell you thank you. He's waiting to say thank you for telling me about Jesus. Because of you, I'm here." Boy, tears are really starting to flow. And I looked over at him and I said, "There's another one you haven't thought much about." He said, "Who's that, son?" I said, "Your father, Grant Taylor." "Now it's just an open well." And he said, "Boy, God sure has been good to us, hasn't he, son?" I said, "Yes, sir, he sure has." I got a picture of him that day. He's sitting in one of those motorized carts down there at the Home Depot. And they had, it was a Saturday, and they had a hot dog special for all their customers. And so we stopped and got a hot dog. I asked him, "What do you want?" He said, "Mustard. You want mustard on it?" And he got a hold of that hot dog, and he squeezed it too hard. And the hot dog went right down his shirt, mustard and all. I got a picture of him sitting there with a hot dog. We got home, and he'd already had a time in the hospital before. A couple weeks before that, I'd been home, and he's laying in the hospital. He's looking up into the corner of the ceiling, and he's waving. And I said, "Dad, who are you waving at?" He said, "I'm waving at people up there." "Oh, okay." He said, "They're up there waiting on me." I said, "Okay. I reckon they are." Now he's in hospice, so he's at the house, and we get him home, and he's sitting there in the chair one day on the Sunday before he died that morning, and he's looking up and waving again like that. And I said, "Dad, you waving at people again?" He said, "Yeah." And he went like this. I said, "Dad, what are you doing?" He said, "It's so bright up there where they are." I said, "Dad, that's because the Bible tells us Jesus is the light of the city. And he's brighter than the light of the sun." He went, "Yeah, amen." He knew. I watched this as the life ebbed out of his body. He knew where he was going. You know, he had dementia. And there was a few points in there where he forgot even who I was. When he was in the hospital especially. Long story there, but. You know, his friends started coming by, and I'd tell him who was there, and he knew him right instantly that last week. His dearest friend on earth came by, and I told him that he was there. "Oh, thank you for coming, you know." But he got to the point, you know, and it's, you know, I'm sure you probably heard somebody say, you know, it's the day's coming. You look at your kids and say, "The day's coming when you're going to change my diaper." You have to pick them up and put them on and take care of them in that way. I watched as that life, that physical life, ebbed out of that body. And I wanted so much. I wanted so much to be standing when he left the house. God didn't let me do that. That morning, it was actually the afternoon when he passed, but my mother had a hair appointment in Holy Inn. She came up, she put her hand on my dad, and she said, "Honey, I got to go get my hair done. They had changed her appointment somehow." She went to get her hair done. She said, "I'll be back." She kissed him and drove out the driveway. My wife and I were sitting there with Dad about, I don't know, about 11:30. We did not know my mother had prayed Lord, please don't let him pass while I'm gone. She did that going down the driveway. Because we had been told by hospice he would last one more day. But he would die Thursday instead of Wednesday. But he died on Wednesday. Nobody knows when it's going to be, amen, but God.
That's right, brother. Yes, sir.
And so he lay there, and we're sitting in chairs in the living room, and hospital beds right at my feet. And Dad couldn't raise up. I mean, the physical strength was gone, but he kind of tried, and he pointed up like this, and he said two words, "Not yet!" Just like that. Linda and I looked at each other. Did he just say what I thought he said? Yeah, he said, "Not yet." I didn't know you could tell the death angel away, amen. He did. And about a half hour before he passed, I was standing at the bedside. My mom was not yet home. And I just told him one more time, I said, "Dad, I love you. You love me too, son." My mom came in, she kissed him, said, "Honey, I'm home." Dad was still breathing. You can see a little cotton thing here, and he did fluff when he breathed. We left the room, we went in, sat down at the table about 1:20. We weren't down there about 5 minutes, and the Lord said, "You need to go check on your dad." So I got up and went in the room. He was gone. Called my mother, she came in. See, it says there what? It's sown in dishonor, it's raised in honor. Sown in dishonor, it's raised in glory. Sown in weakness, it's raised in power.
Oh, yes.
Dad's not sick anymore.
Hey.
Hallelujah. Cancer doesn't have him anymore. Dementia doesn't have his brain anymore.
Hey.
He's running around the city, amen. But I saw the beginnings of that power at the funeral. I preached the funeral. The night before, one of my granddaughters got saved. During the funeral, a couple adults got saved. But there's an old boy that I know since I was a little boy. He's the grave digger in Eldred. He keeps the cemetery there. And we weren't going to have a graveside. We were just going to do it all at the home and then go for the dinner. And The undertaker, been a friend, family friend for years, and he mentioned that he was going to have a crew that were going to just load the body and they were going to take it down. And my mother said, "I want to go to the graveside." I said, "Okay, we'll go to the graveside." Well, my kids heard we're going, so they went. So just the family standing there, and here we are. And that, if y'all ever been through there in Eldred, that grave, that cemetery is on a hill. And the river's behind it, there's these trees, and you're just kind of in that little valley. We walked up that mountain, I got my wife up to the hill there, he's up on the side hill. And I look, and of course, you know, the one end of the casket's about that far off the ground, and it's level, because they got to let it down in, it's all sitting there ready to go. And I look over here beside the casket, and there's the grave digger. All I've ever known him as is a cold, hard man who would not hear the gospel, who would not think of God. And we're standing there, and I can't remember all that was said or done, but I wanted to sing Amazing Grace in the nursing home during the funeral, and the Lord wouldn't let me. But we're standing there, and one of my kids said, "Let's sing Amazing Grace." And I said, "Perfect." So we sang three verses, and the family started to walk west. "Wait a minute, there's another verse." And forget it. "And when this heart and flesh shall fail, and mortal life shall cease, I shall possess within the veil a life of joy and peace."
Hey.
As we sang that verse, I looked over at that great digger. You know who cuts my mom's grass now?
Oh,
him.
It's good, brother.
There's still opportunity, amen?
Yes, sir.
To awake to righteousness and sin not. Listen, it's sown in dishonor, it's sown in corruption, but it's raised in incorruption, it's raised in glory. And all too often, I'm going to bring it back to the physical realm and just where we live right now. All too often, we're living in that physical realm. We're living in the dishonor. Why? Because we're living for us. We're living in the corruption because we're living for us. And we're not awake to righteousness. We're not awake and alive to Christ. When we're awake and when we're alive to Christ, He's who shines forth. He's who they see. And we're doing what we're doing to glorify Him and to magnify Him and to exalt Him and to lift Him up. It's glorious. It's glorious. You ever walk away from doing something for God and just feel so light? Just feel so wonderful that, man, you just didn't know how to act. Maybe you did a little jig or shouted or cried or whatever you do and you just get overwhelmed. It's glorious to live for Him and to walk in newness of life, as the Bible puts it. Verse 46, howbeit that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, afterward that which is spiritual. You know, we're born with a natural body. And for however many years we live in that natural realm, you see, it had a head start on the spiritual realm. And all too often, we get used to that spiritual realm, and when a problem arises, what do? We go back to the natural. My own father, I can give his testimony now, he's gone, amen. He'll deal with me when I get home, amen. But there came a point in his life as a young Christian, and I kept trying to disciple him. I was living 4 hours away trying to disciple him, and at that time there wasn't a real solid church in the area down there where they lived. And so I would, every chance I get, he'd come down and I'd take him to preaching somewhere, and he'd come down to hear Jack Wood preach, he'd come down here, all the old guys we had preach down there. And there came a time, he was in this church, and the guy was an NIV guy. You can say what you want to, but when the seed's rotten, when the core's rotten, the preaching's rotten.
Yes, sir. That's right, brother. Yes, sir. Got it right. Yep.
And I told him, I tried to warn him. I said, watch that guy. I watch him. Watch him. If he's going to correct the Word of God and use a Bible that corrects the Word of God, I wouldn't trust him as far as I could kick him.
Yes, sir, brother.
I said, well, you better watch him. Watch him, Dad. Watch him. My mother blew up at me. And that's another story. When she blew up, I looked at her and I said, Mom, I'll give that guy 6 months and he'll be out of the ministry. Little did I know what God was doing. But almost 6 months to the day, Brother Dale, my father and another man caught that man in the church with a teenage girl.
Oh, boy, ain't that something?
It crushed my father. You're supposed to be a man of God.
That's right.
We go back to that natural because it was first. My father was so crushed. The bar that he would go in and preach in, the other bar in Turtle Point, that guy got so under conviction that he sold the bar and kept the liquor license. He told my father, he said, you're going to have to quit coming in here. And my dad said, why? He said, because they see your car out here, my papers won't even stop. And my dad said this. He said, praise God, let's just close it down and make church out of it. That bar, my father turned into. He had 2 drinks for him. Now, he hadn't drunk anything in about a year. Had 2 drinks that day. I thank God the book says, despise not the chastening of the Lord. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. You're a child of God. You can't go back.
That's right.
You may try. But number one, you won't be happy. Number two, if you are truly his, he will deal with you.
Yes, he will. You got that right.
My father pulled out of that bar. He turned to go up the road toward Port Allegheny. He didn't go 100 feet, and a semi, traveling about 60 miles an hour, hit his little Chevy Citation and knocked him 300 feet out into the field. He got all banged up, beat up. They took him to the hospital. My mother called me. She's all beside herself. Dad's lost his salvation. I said, Mom, whoa, put on the brakes. No. Just the opposite. He did not lose what God gave him. I said, in fact, this is living proof. He's got it. And I quoted her the verses. Well, you know, he's up in the Cowersport Hospital. So I drove from down Newport, Pennsylvania, down that way, all the way up Cowersport. I walked in the hospital room. As I stepped in the door, my dad's sitting up in the bed. He saw me standing there with my Bible and put his head down. I said, Dad, you better thank God. He lifted his head and said, why is that, son? I said, because this book says, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. I said, Dad, this is living proof. You can't go back. He began to weep and said, I know that better than anybody now, son. I said, good, amen. Let's have some fellowship. All too often, we go back to what we used to be. And we're not awake to righteousness. We go back to what we used to be. When those trials hit, when those hard times hit, when those little situations arise, how do you know that? I'm guilty.
Yes, sir.
We go back to what we used to be. Oh, God, I don't want to be what I used to be.
No way.
And somebody watches. And somebody sees. And Lord only knows how many people we've wounded by going back to what we used to be. Paul had the same struggle in Romans 7. You read it when you get a chance. He had the same struggle. Let's go on down a little bit. Verse 51, for the context. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Look at verse 57. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
How many times you long for the rapture? Take me out of this place. Take me out of this person right here. Get me out of me, God. Especially in those times when I know I've made a mess of it. Oh, God, I wish you'd rapture me. I wish you'd just take me home. Lord, I don't want people to see me. I want them to see my Savior.
Yes.
And we'll go to that verse and claim the victory, but it seems like the next day, here we are again. Go to Matthew with me. Well, on the way, stop at Ephesians. Flip right first to Ephesians. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. And you, saved people, Ephesians, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Beloved, we need to just realize this morning who we are and where we are.
Hey.
Amen. We are not of this world that are saved.
That's right, brother. Yes, sir.
Brother, we're already seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. He told the Corinthians, awake to righteousness. Just think about who you are today. Now is high time, amen. Now is the time. Amen. Now would be a good time, amen, just to think about it and walk accordingly. Live accordingly. Amen. Live like we say what we are. Amen. We say we're saved. We say we're Christians. It'd be a good time to just do it. Why? Because he's in there. And here's the key. Here's the kicker. Turn to Matthew 9. Matthew chapter 9, look at verse 8. He's just forgiven the sick of the palsy, healed him. The guy walks off, told him to rise and walk. The guy left. The guy rose, verse 7, departed to his house. Verse 8 says, but when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto man. The power of God is not just for the preacher. You heard it said last night. It's not just for the song leader. It's not just for the deacon. Dear lady, it's for you too. Because it said man, and you're not a man, just remember, your great, 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 greatest of all grandmothers came from man. When he said man, he's talking about mankind. The power of God is for all of us. It's there. Flip over a page to Matthew chapter 10. Look at verse 1. And when he called on him his 12 disciples, are you a disciple this morning? He gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. And I understand that those are the apostolic signs gifts. I know all about that. I want you to notice, he gave it to man. It's there. Go with me to Matthew 28. I know y'all know where I'm going, Matthew 28. Look at verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, his disciples, just mere men, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore. He said, fellas, the power is not yours. The power to overcome is not yours. The power to live righteously is not yours. Here's the other side of that coin, awake to righteousness. Some folks get a little bit of a handle on it. In fact, we'll probably all do a time or two. And we get to doing things pretty good, and we're going along, and hey, man, it's like you look back and track, and I've done pretty good today. And about that time, we heard about pride last night. Pride wells up to yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You sure did. Would you realize this morning, even when we do right, not us, it's him. His power.
Yes, sir.
It's not in us. It's him. It's in us because he's in us, but it's not in us by ourselves. All power is given unto me. Go ye therefore. It's my power, fellas. It's my power, folks. I'll give it to you if you just do what I told you to do. Go ye. Then he said, and lo, I'm with you always, even the end of the world. He said, you want the power? Do what I told you. Go. Now, this isn't a soul winning message. Amen. Go win. No. It's simple. If they didn't do it, he told them. Like the old black preacher said, no gold, no low. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Again, familiar. I know y'all know it. Acts 1, verse 8. But ye shall receive power. That word shall, you look that up in the dictionary. It's definitive. That means what's connected to it is going to happen. Regardless, But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me. The point I'm trying to make is ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Is he upon you this morning? Is he in you? Is he there? Another verse, Acts chapter 8. And here's where I see a lot of preachers fall. Acts chapter 8, look at verse 9. But there was a certain man called Simon, which before in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. And to him they had regard, because at a long time he bewitched them with sorcery. And I know this wasn't the power of God, but they thought it was. And you know what we're seeing all over the land and across the world? Fellas standing up in Jesus' name, doing certain things, and they've got people buffaloed into thinking, this man is the great power of God. And what happens? And it happens even to those who really know the true power of God. Somebody comes up and pats you on the back. Amen, Brother Tim. That was a great message. Oh, you're a great preacher.
Amen.
I know Cliff.
That's right.
Anything good that comes out of Cliff, believe me, wasn't Cliff.
That's right.
But people get blessed through what you do because the power of God is there and God is present. And what happens? Thank you very much. Brother Dale, I always try to give it like David did when they brought the water back to him at the well. And he went through the host of the garrison of the Philistines to get the water at the well of Jerusalem and bring it back. This ain't for me, Lord. They did it for you. Transfer that loyalty. Transfer that accolade. Just transfer it to what it belongs to. God. It's Him. You got anything good out of anybody, it was God. This guy, you know, he's getting everybody patting him on the back. Then look down at verse 19. Verse 18, when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent this, therefore, of thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. Then answered Simon and said, pray ye to the Lord for me that none of these things which he has spoken come upon me. Hey, listen, look through the Bible. You won't find Simon mentioned again anywhere. You notice what Simon did with it? What did the apostles tell him? You pray. What did he say? You pray for me. Beloved, amen. 55 million people can lay their hands on us and pray over us and ask God to fill us. But it's not going to happen until we say, God, I need it. Fill me.
Amen.
It's a personal thing. God doesn't do it corporately because somebody asked for it. God does it individually. When the individual says, God, I need to be filled.
Amen.
Would you fill me? I just ask you to think back about this morning. You got out of bed. Hopefully you had a little time of prayer. During your prayer time, did you think about maybe taking one little spot there and saying, Lord, I don't want them to see me. I want them to see you, but if you don't fill me, they're going to see me. Lord, would you please fill me with the Spirit of God today. It ought to be a matter of our daily prayer. In fact, if you're getting old and forgetful, write it down on your prayer list. Fill me in big bold letters. Fill me with the Spirit of God. Because that's the most important thing in my life now. Is that I'd be filled with the Spirit of God so others can see my Jesus.
Yeah.
And be drawn to Him. Oh, preacher, I've been praying and it just doesn't seem to happen. Acts chapter 5 and verse 32 and we'll be done. Acts 5 and verse 32. And we are His witnesses of these things. And so also is the Holy Ghost, whom God has given to them that obey Him. Awake to righteousness and sin not. Whom God hath given to them that obey Him. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. You can awake all you want. I can awake all I want. To awake to righteousness is to be filled with the Spirit of God, to realize the need, and to admit the need before God. And when there's something between us and our Savior, to deal with that and take care of it scripturally, spiritually, and to have it put under the blood. And then the vessel's clean and can be filled. And perhaps you've been searching it, seeking it, and it just hasn't happened. It's not a warm, fuzzy feeling.
That's right.
Though sometimes you will get a few goosebumps, amen. Mm-hmm. It's not based on feeling. It's just like our salvation is based on fact. And if we'll just take that book and pray with that book, say, God, You told me to be filled. In Ephesians chapter 5, You said, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. God, You told me to be filled. You commanded me. God, I want to obey. I'm trying to obey. Are you trying to obey this morning? Then what is it that He has said, do this, and you went back to the natural instead of doing the spiritual? Obeying God is spiritual. Doing what God told us to do is spiritual. And if we'll just do what He said to do, power will be there. I mean, look at Peter. And I'll close with Peter's example. We all know Peter fell. We all know Peter's over there by the fire warming himself, and they come along and say, you're one of them. Peter even got to the point where he cussed. The great apostle Peter, the disciple of Jesus, he cussed. You know what they told him? Peter, you're still one of them. You can't even cuss right. Your speech gives you away. Peter goes out, he weeps bitterly. And he's away when the Lord begins to appear back to His disciples. He says, hey, go tell My disciples and Peter. And then Peter goes and meets with them. And the next thing you see, who is it that steps up on the day of Pentecost? It wasn't John. It wasn't Thomas or Andrew or Philip or Bartholomew. It wasn't any of them. It's Peter. Peter stands up and preaches. And 3,000 people get saved. Wow. Peter had just made a mess. But Peter got that mess right. And when he got that mess right and got it taken care of scripturally, then God could just tip the bucket over on him. And fill him to overflowing. Enough so that 3,000 people could be saved. In one service. I don't know about you, beloved, but I want God to use me. After 35 years, that's all there is for me.
Mm-hmm.
To get up and spout a bunch of words.
Yeah, right.
No, please, I don't want to spout words. I've got an opportunity to say something for God, I want the power of God on it. I want the touch of God on it. The preacher, has always happened? No, because there's been times in my life too where I've gone back to the natural. And you get so wrapped up in life that you don't make it right. You have to get down and say, God, what is it? Where did I turn wrong? And the Lord said, right here. Lord, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Please wash me in the blood. Cleanse me, Father. Lord, fill me. I must be filled. I've got to be filled. There is nothing better. There's nothing else that'll work and do the job to where it will bring eternal fruit. God, please fill me. Awake to righteousness. And sin not. Father, best I know how to get the children to do. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity. I pray now you bless it. I pray the Spirit of God could use it in our lives. Help me, Father, especially. Lord, to walk in righteousness, to be awake.